Welcome back, everyone, to Tax Crime Junkies. I'm your host, Dominique. I'm a CPA, certified tax strategist. I have an interest in true crimes. I have a degree in law and lead the American Institute of Certified Tax Planners. And with me today is my oh-so-lovable co-host, Tom Gorzinski.
Hi, Dominique. I'm Tom Gorzinski. I'm an enrolled agent. I'm admitted to practice for the U.S. Tax Court as a non-attorney. I'm a tax instructor. And like you, I have a real interest in true crime. We decided to create a true crime podcast to combine our love of mysteries, whodunits, and tax. We are the Tax Crime Junkies.
Today, we're about to spill the beans on a mind-blowing case involving a guy named Michael Stephen Banuelos, otherwise known as Ferrari Mike. So prepare yourselves because it's a wild ride. Where should we begin, Tom?
Well, let's start by painting a picture of this dude, Michael. Picture it. For over 15 years, the guy hasn't done an honest day's work. Nope. Instead, he spent his time scheming and pulling off some seriously sneaky and fraudulent stuff. Why, you ask? Well, it was all in the pursuit of a life filled with fancy things and loads of cash. He wanted the big houses, the flashy cars, and everything money could buy. But here's the kicker, it was all smoke and mirrors. He pretended to own these luxurious properties, these fancy rides, but in reality, they weren't his at all. Pretty sneaky, huh?
Yeah, you can actually fool a lot of people. What you see is not always the truth. Michael Banuelos had a bunch of companies, such as M&T Marketing and the Ferrari Mike Music Group. He claimed he was this hotshot promoter working with big shot artists and all that jazz. But let me tell you, between July 2008 and April 2011, he was feeding people one big pile of lies.
So get this. Michael convinced people to invest their hard-earned money by promising them huge returns. He made them believe he had these amazing business deals lined up for up-and-coming musicians. No surprise, it was all a bunch of baloney. It turns out, instead of using the $2 million he got from investors for these supposed deals, he blew most of it on his own personal expenses. We're not talking about basic food here. We're talking fancy cars, private jets, alimony, hanging out at country clubs, dressing up in designer clothes and bling. Can you believe the nerve of this guy?
Did he pay his taxes with that stolen money too?
That's a good question.
It gets even worse. Michael's scam didn't just affect one or two people. Oh no, he targeted two innocent teenage boys and their families, among others. And what's unique about these youngsters is that they had big dreams of making it in the music business. And that's kind of what made them vulnerable to Ferrari Mike. In fact, he saw them as easy prey. But he didn't even stop there. He conned their families, their friends, and even other investors out of a whopping $3 million.
Okay, let's dig into the dirty details of his criminal activities. From way back in 2005 until he got busted in July of 2012, he managed to swindle multiple groups of people out of millions of dollars. How did he pull it off? Well, he had this scam going, where he promised struggling musicians these massive record contracts worth millions. Classic story of false hope, my friends. One group of the victims, known as the Michael S. Bannon Media Revo Media victims, fell right into Michael's trap. He became buddies with a guy named Michael S., spun a web of lies around him. Michael claimed he had connections with the famous recording artist Ludacris and used that to make big promises for a talented up-and-comer named Four Eyes. Now, can you believe it? But hold on tight because things are about to get crazier.
Yeah, because Michael didn't just stop at making empty promises, Tom. He went the extra mile to convince Michael S. and others to invest tens of thousands of dollars into his so-called business ventures. Remember, he's calling this Bannon Media and then later Revo Media. And guess what? Michael S. wasn't the only one. He managed to recruit more investors, and together they poured a staggering $427,500 into this elaborate scheme. Now, that's a whole lot of money. And to get that kind of money, you have to create this illusion. And so Ferrari Mike spun this elaborate tale about negotiations with renowned recording label Def Jam Records. And what artist would not want to get signed by Def Jam Records? He claimed that they were willing to shell out an astonishing $13,800,000 for the rights to Four Eyes' music. Can you even imagine? I've never heard of a first-time musician artist getting a deal. Usually it's a terrible deal to begin with, and they usually have to prove that, you know, they're capable of the listens and the downloads in order to get a contract that high.
Well, too good to be true, honestly, Dominique.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was all cloak and dagger. Michael took it to the next level by forging a contract and even roping in imposters to stage fake conference calls so that they could discuss this fake deal that he was putting together. So talk about going all out to deceive people. Here's what artist Four Eyes has to say about how Ferrari Mike lavished him with expensive trips, private planes, and fancy cars so that he could keep up this charade of success.
Ooh, a lot of liquor, a lot of drinking. When we first would go out with Ferrari Mike, we actually had to scale him down some. One of the biggest rules in the music industry is you got to fake it to make it. As much as I don't like the rule, it works. So we go to Vegas. But when we go to Vegas, we don't just go to Vegas. We went to Vegas. And I mean, it was no reason for us to rent Ludacris's private plane to fly to Vegas. Chris didn't even take his own private plane to Vegas when he went. But we did, because Ferrari Mike was the showman. It's all about, you know, keeping up with the big dogs.
Here's how I see it, Dom. These phony negotiations really served two purposes for Michael. First, they bought him time, right, to string along the investors. Second, they provided him with an excuse to ask for money. Pretty crafty, if you ask me. Now, while Ferrari Mike was busy conning Michael S. and that group of investors, that wasn't enough. He decided to expand his fraudulent empire. Now, this time he set his sights on a new target, a group of hopeful investors looking to strike it big with a recording contract for a musical duo called High Life. Let's dive into how it all unfolded, because it really reveals a lot about Michael's character.
So Ferrari Mike, ever the master of deception, went as far as producing a CD. You know, these are circular storage devices. We don't really use them anymore. But we did at that time. And what he did is he produced this video. And he claimed that the video contained a real episode of that MTV show they used to have, Tom, called Cribs. Do you remember that MTV?
Yeah.
They would take the camera on a tour of celebrities' homes that were super extravagant. And by that time, they had featured over 185 stars, and they were really big names like Kenny Rogers, Shaquille O'Neal, Mariah Carey, and Ludacris. Remember, he's already kind of highlighted his relationship supposedly with Ludacris. And that is a pretty impressive lineup, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So he produces this fake thing, and he shamelessly boasted in this video that his own home was being featured in an episode of MTV Cribs. And so to make it appear legit, He had someone film him giving this grand tour of a mansion. And if you peel back the layers, he was just renting that house. He didn't actually own it. But that wasn't even enough for him. He went above and beyond. He showcased luxury rides like a Bentley, a Hummer, and Ferraris, and he claimed that they were all his. He spared no expense.
But that's not the end of the story. The video also featured footage of Michael at his country club, a membership he shamelessly funded using stolen investor money. And here's the kicker. He even pretended to be a VIP, parading around with his own entourage and even a police escort. He was in his own delusional fantasy world.
Well, that gets attention, right? You walk around a place looking like a VIP, people assume that you're a VIP. They don't often walk up to people and say, prove that you're a VIP. So the looks can be deceiving. So let's turn our attention to the victims of his cunning scheme, the Vern L. and Ty T. investor groups. One of the investors, Vern L., who happened to reside in Hawaii, received his own copy of the fake MTV Cribs episode from Michael. Impressive, right? And Vern L. just couldn't resist sharing it with others. And that's when things took an unexpected turn. One viewer mentioned that her grandson was a member of the Ty T run musical duo High Life. And this revelation sparked Michael's interest because he saw it as an opportunity to get even deeper into his web of deception.
You've probably figured out by now that we can trust our guy to cook up a devious plan. So Michael went all the way to Hawaii, pretending to be genuinely interested in watching High Life perform. He cunningly handed Ty T a copy of the bogus MTV Cribs video, and from there, the tangled web of deceit only grew thicker. The twists and turns in Michael's scheme just keep coming. After convincing Vernell, Ty T, and the talented duo High Life to invest in the promise of a multi-million dollar recording contract, Michael went all out to maintain the illusion and keep the money coming.
So I'm assuming he had fancy cars, fancy house, and entourage to kind of impress them. And that's what he did in this grand display of theatrics. He invited High Life and Ty T to his home base in Atlanta. And as you can probably guess, how do you think he greeted them at the airport? In a very fancy car. He picked him up in a limo, but that was just the beginning. He continued his elaborate charade by claiming to have connections with Ludacris, and he even created a fake contract stating that High Life would be the opening act for Ludacris on his upcoming tour. According to the contract, High Life would earn $17,000 per show, which is really astounding, totaling a jaw-dropping $952,000. So the claims are a little bit more reasonable here than the $18 million one we saw earlier. But here's the catch. Ty had to cough up $68,000 initially and later an additional $200,000. And we know where that went. All of it went straight into Michael's pockets. But the question is, if no one was suspicious of this guy, what made them keep investing?
Well, imagine, Dom, most people in the entertainment industry get their start somewhere, right? And that usually starts with a first contract. When you're brand new, how do you know if you're being scammed or not?
You know, this reminds me of those old modeling companies that say they're going to sign you as a model, but you've got to pay an expensive amount so that you can take all their walking classes and get headshots. And in the end, you may not ever even get a paying job And so, unfortunately, some people spend thousands of dollars. They put in countless hours of effort, never even landing a single paying gig until you realize you've been scammed by the agency.
And this is exactly what Ferrari Mike counted on. New folks to the industry, they didn't know what to expect, and they were impressed with the facade of a lifestyle they were paying for and didn't know it, and using well-known artists, I'm sure it put them at ease. It's not like Ty T could just call up Ludacris and ask, hey, are you working with Mike? And as with his previous victims, Michael kept the scam going by falsely claiming to have a quote-unquote memorandum of understanding with a major recording label. He waved this document around to convince investors to keep giving him their hard-earned money. He even went as far as organizing conference calls where an imposter posed as an employee from the recording label. He shamelessly forged documents with the employee's name and signature. But then tragedy struck when the real employee from the major recording label sadly took their own life. Michael used this tragic event as an excuse to cover up why the deal hadn't been finalized. It's really despicable how he manipulated a suicide for his own benefit.
Ew. Yeah, the lengths to which Michael went to deceive people and line his own pockets is just astounding. And to your point earlier, Tom, it wasn't for basic necessities. It was just to live this extravagant lifestyle. And our story doesn't actually end there. While Michael was busy duping Vern L., Ty T., and High Life, he was not done scheming. They never are. One of his tactics involved promising Ty T that he could arrange meetings with famous artists like Ludacris and Chris Brown. But guess what? Michael conveniently claimed that these superstar meetings had to be canceled at the last minute. Oh dear. Ludacris suddenly had a last minute appointment, and Chris Brown allegedly couldn't attend due to the domestic violence accusations against his girlfriend, Rihanna. You remember that incident, Tom?
Oh, I do. And I remember it was all over the headlines. So it might make sense to someone being duped if they watch the news.
Now, here's the twist. Michael cleverly incorporated grains of truth from real life events, just like the Chris and Rihanna thing. So it is true that Chris Brown was facing allegations of domestic violence against Rihanna. That was February of 2009. And that's a great way to kind of pull somebody in. And he wasn't one to give up easily. So even though he keeps canceling these appointments, he swiftly changes tactics and then offers Ty an alternative. He claimed to know another famous artist, Usher, and said he could arrange for High Life to be the opening act for Usher's tour. But, of course, there was a catch. Ty and the other half of High Life's father had to scrape together an additional $10,000 for this supposed opportunity. Ty flew back to Hawaii. He sold his car. He did whatever he had to do to come up with money. It's his dream. And he's this close to his dream. And so it really is this never-ending cycle of deception and manipulation coming from this guy, Ferrari Mike. And despite the fact that this web of deceit is getting thicker and thicker, Ty couldn't shake off the glimmer of hope that this opportunity might be the breakthrough that High Life needed to get signed. And so with a heavy heart, he made those sacrifices because he saw it as necessary. He handed over the hard-earned money, hoping that this time it would be different. And as the days turned into weeks and weeks into months, Ty's anticipation grew, and so did his skepticism. The promised connection to Usher seemed more elusive than ever, and he had doubts creeping into his mind. Had he been played by the same guy, Ferrari Mike, once again?
Me and my partner was talking about it, like, this could be the moment right here, you know?
How about we turn our attention to another unfortunate victim in this web of deceit, Gerald S. from Burlingame, California. He fell right into Michael's trap when he received a quote-unquote memorandum of understanding dated October 9th, 2008, supposedly between Def Jam Music Group and Michael himself. This document purported that Def Jam would pay Michael, get this, Dominique, a mind-blowing $23 million for the rights to High Life's performances and recordings. Now, naturally, Gerald saw dollar signs and decided to invest a total of $100,000 with Ferrari Mike, hoping for a massive profit once the $23 million rolled in.
I don't know if I understand this deal. He's going to give this guy more money than High Life for the rights to their performances? So is there an overlap? Like they're both supposedly getting paid on the same record deal?
Yeah, it's a very strange situation, but that's not where the story ends. Throughout 2009 and 2010, Gerald actually poured more money into Michael's fraudulent deals involving other music artists. One such artist was Brian White, also known as Heem Martin or Hennessy Martini. To entice Gerald into investing, Michael showed him another made-up document, a quote-unquote letter of intent, supposedly between a division of Sony BMG Music and Michael's company. This letter stated that Sony was interested in acquiring the rights to Brian White, get this, for $285 million. Does this sound too good to be true? Yes, and it was.
Oh, gosh, that just sounds over the top, like way too much to believe. To make matters worse, for Gerald, that is, Michael told Gerald that Sony required life insurance policies on one of the artists and on himself to protect Sony's investments. And guess who had to foot the bill for those policies? Poor Gerald. Do you think he had to have life insurance or something, maybe for his divorce? I know he was paying alimony with stolen money, but poor Gerald ended up shelling out $23,120 for the initial policy. And hold on, because there's more. Michael then claimed that Sony actually wanted a two-year policy instead of just 1 year. And he used the excuse that both he and Brian White had certain issues that made the premiums go higher to a staggering $115,000. Sadly, Gerald, I think, was not that savvy. He handed over that additional amount of money as well. And between October 2009 and February 2010 alone, Gerald wired an astounding $340,000 to Michael, all under the false pretense of finalizing Brian White's contract with Sony. Gerald even loaned Ferrari Mike $110,000 to keep the deal going. It is just this endless cycle of lies and financial ruin.
But of course, to keep this con going on, he had to fleece new investors. So he shifted his focus to new victims, Don M. and Chad W. This time, Michael claimed to be a successful money manager with a major telecom company founder as his client. He spun these tales about the telecom founder investing a whopping $45 million with him. But of course, he needed some upfront cash to set up the money management logistics and resolve some pending matters. Don M. and Chad W. unfortunately fell for the scam and ended up losing $200,000 in just a few months, leading up to Michael's eventual arrest in July of 2012.
You know, Tom, I'm always surprised at how easy it seems to get people into an agreement where they're promised to make money, but they have to spend money first to make money. I mean, why didn't these poor guys, Don and Chad, why didn't they turn around and say, well, if you're so rich, Ferrari Mike, why don't you just do the $200,000 yourself?
Well, here's the kicker, Dom. He even tried to continue defrauding people from his prison cell. He shamelessly claimed that his arrest was a misunderstanding and that the charges would soon be dropped. He had the audacity to ask Chad W. to send him $13,000 more to resolve pending issues before their supposed money management operation could thrive. Can you believe the nerve of this guy? His lies know no bounds. He just continued to exploit and target innocent people.
Well, we don't even have to ask what Ferrari Mike was doing with his spoils. But I gotta say, how do you spend that much money? It's so much money. And had he just saved it, you know, he could really stretch that out. But yeah, we do know that with the money he swindled from his victims, Michael indulged in a life of luxury. He just didn't settle for ordinary cars. Oh no. He had to spend it because he had it. He's got this money burning a hole in his pocket. So he leased, he rented luxury automobiles like Bentleys, Hummers, Lamborghinis, Ferraris, and limos. Talk about an impressive car collection. But he didn't stop there. He joined this exclusive country club. He frequented high-end clothing stores. And he even rented large homes, plural, in Atlanta, and a luxurious penthouse apartment in Chicago. So he's living this lifestyle like he's a baller, and he's kind of moving and shaking across the country. It was this life of extravagance that he was living with the hard-earned money of others. And the parties and spending were just nonstop. In fact, Ferrari Mike was known that the parties never stop. But who's footing the bill? His marks. And he didn't even have to stop the partying to go to work because he didn't have a job. Everything was funded with these schemes. Now, there's no evidence to suggest that he had worked an honest day since way back in 1997, and that was when he was fired for defrauding his fellow sheriff's deputies. That's right, he was a deputy. We're going to talk more on that later. He hadn't lifted a finger to earn a legitimate living for over a decade, yet he's living this lavish lifestyle. And he chose to deceive, manipulate, and swindle innocent people out of their hard-earned money and their dreams. You know, he's really playing on these vulnerable people that dream of record deals. His schemes were elaborate and they were sophisticated, and he seemed to revel in the thrill of pulling off each con. So I think there's that part of it in this too, Tom, is it's not just about the money. It's like he's pulling one over. And so as the number of his victims grew, so did his reputation as a mastermind of fraud. And I think that was fueling him maybe even as much as the lifestyle, because he had this lifestyle that was a symbol of success, and he used it to dupe people with the mansions, the cars, the vacation. But behind his charming smile, behind that charismatic personality, lay a remorseless predator who showed no regard for the lives he shattered.
When you add it all up, we're looking at almost $3 million in losses. It's undeniable his fraudulent scheme targeted multiple groups of victims, all falling prey to his false promises of connections in the music industry and incredible returns on their investments. He used their hard-earned money to fund his life of luxury without giving a care to the misery he inflicted on others. He didn't just deceive and manipulate adults, though. He preyed upon the dreams of two innocent teenage boys who had aspiring music careers. At the age of 17, they were enticed into his web of lies. They thought he held the key to their success. Instead, Ferrari Mike shattered their dreams, wasted their time and efforts on false hope, and he just lined his own pockets.
Do you think he was using that same fake contract that he waves around? You think he used the exact same one with multiple people?
Absolutely, 100%.
He didn't even print a fresh copy?
No. I think this guy was brazen. He thought he could get away with it.
Right. Well, Ferrari Mike Benuelos steals music artists' money and their dreams. His Ferrari lifestyle drives them in the fast lane, but his promotional acumen leaves his investors to crash and burn. And that's all we have time for today, folks. But be sure to join us next time. We're actually going to have a part two because we are not done talking about Ferrari Mike. We're going to be going even deeper into the stories of those who fell victim. There's more. Same thing, his deception, exploring the aftermath of their encounters with him. So stay tuned to uncover the shocking truth behind this master manipulator and his devastating impact on the lives of aspiring artists, and how the police department was involved in his schemes.
I can't wait. The gripping episode that we have coming up will unravel more details as the trial unfolds and the investigation eventually comes to an end. Thank you for listening. We're grateful you decided to join us today, and we hope you consider subscribing to the show and sharing it with friends who could use a Tax Crime Junkie podcast in their life. Help us spread the word and come back for more.
We hope you'll join us again next week as we continue our mission to find the loopholes that went left and close them for good. Until next time, remember that every crime has a trail that leads to the truth.